This is cassette number 3.
Carmen eased the Cadillac in next to the Jeep and walked back out into the sun. She looked small and out of place in the yard, like an orchid in a trash pile.
"So where's the bunkhouse?"
he asked.
"Stay with me," she said. "You need to meet them anyway. You need to get hired. You can't just show up in the bunkhouse."
"Okay," he said. She led him slowly to the bottom of the porch steps. She took them cautiously, one at a time. She arrived in front of the door and knocked.
"You have to knock?" Reacher asked.
She nodded.
"They never gave me a key," she said.
They waited, with Reacher a step behind her, appropriate for the hired help. He could hear footsteps inside. Then the door swung open. A guy was standing there, holding the inside handle. He looked to be in his middle 20s. He had a big, square face with the skin blotched red and white. He was bulky, with frat boy muscle turning to fat. He was wearing denim jeans and a dirty white T-shirt with the sleeves rolled tight over what was left of his biceps. He smelled of sweat and beer. He was wearing a red baseball cap backward on his head. A semicircle of forehead showed above the plastic strap. At the back, a shock of hair spilled out under the peak, exactly the same color and texture as Ellie's.
"It's you,"
he said, glancing at Carmen, glancing away.
"Bobby,"
she said. Then his glance settled on Reacher.
"Who's your friend?" "His name is Reacher. He's looking for work."
The guy paused.
"Well, come on in, I guess.
Both of you.
And close the doors, huh?"
He turned back into the gloom, and Reacher saw the letter T on the ball cap. Texas Rangers, he thought. Good ball club, but not good enough. Carmen followed the guy 3 steps behind, entering her home of nearly 7 years like an invited guest. Reacher stayed close to her shoulder.
"Sloop's brother," "What did the sheriff want?"
Carmen called.
"Come inside,"
Bobby called back.
"We are inside," Reacher thought.
But then he saw he meant come into the parlor. It was a big red room at the back of the house. It had been remodeled. It must have been a kitchen once. It opened out through the original wall of the house to a replacement kitchen, easily 50 years old. The parlor had the same worn paint everywhere, including all over the furniture. There was a big farmhouse table and 8 wheelback chairs, all made out of pine, all painted red, all worn back to shiny wood where human contact had been made. One of the chairs was occupied by a woman. She looked to be somewhere in her middle 50s. She was the sort of person who still dresses the same way she always did, despite her advancing age. She was wearing tight jeans with a belt and a blouse with a western fringe. She had a young woman's hairstyle, colored a bright shade of orange, and teased up off her scalp above a thin face. She looked like a 20-year-old prematurely aged by some rare medical condition, or by a shock. Maybe the sheriff had sat her down and given her some awkward news. She looked preoccupied and a little confused, but she showed a measure of vitality, too, a measure of authority. There was still vigor there. She looked like the part of Texas she owned, rangy and powerful, but temporarily laid low with most of her good days behind her.
"What did the sheriff want?"
Carmen asked again.
"Something happened,"
the woman said, and her tone meant it wasn't something good. Reacher saw a flicker of hope behind Carmen's eyes. Then the room went quiet, and the woman turned to look in his direction.
His name is Reacher,
Carmen said.
He's looking for work.
Where is he from?
Her voice was like rawhide. I'm the boss here, it said.
I found him on the road,
Carmen answered.
What can he do?
He's worked with horses before. He can do blacksmithing.
Reacher looked out of the window while she lied about his skills. He had never been closer to a horse than walking past the ceremonial stables on the older army bases that still had them. He knew in principle that a blacksmith made horseshoes, which were iron things horses had nailed to their feet, or their hoofs. Hooves. He knew there was a charcoal brazier involved, and a bellows, and a great deal of rhythmic hammering. An anvil was required, and a trough of water, but he had never actually touched a horseshoe. He had seen them occasionally, nailed up over doors as a superstition. He knew some cultures nailed them upward and some downward, all to achieve the same good luck. But that was all he knew about them.
We'll talk about him later, the woman said. Other things to talk about first.
Then she remembered her manners and sketched a wave across the table.
I'm Rusty Greer, she said.
Like the ball player? Reacher asked.
I was Rusty Greer before he was born, the woman said.
Then she pointed at Bobby.
You already met my boy, Robert Greer. Welcome to the Red House Ranch, Mr. Reacher. Maybe we can find you work, if you're willing and honest.
What did the sheriff want?
Carmen asked for the third time. Rusty Greer turned and looked straight at her.
Sloop's lawyer's gone missing, she said.
What?
He was on his way to the federal jail to see Sloop. He never got there. State police found his car abandoned on the road south of Abilene. Just sitting there empty, miles from anywhere, keys still in it. Situation doesn't look good.
Al Eugene?
How many lawyers you think Sloop had?
Her tone added, you idiot. The room went totally silent, and Carmen went pale and her hand jumped to her mouth, fingers rigid and extended, covering her lips.
Maybe the car broke down, she said.
Cops tried it,
Rusty said.
It worked just fine.
So where is he?
He's gone. Missing. I told you that.
Have they looked for him?
Of course they have, but they can't find him.
Carmen took a deep breath, then another.
Does it change anything? She asked.
You mean, is Sloop still coming home?
Carmen nodded weakly, like she was terribly afraid of the answer.
Don't you worry none.
Rusty said. She was smiling.
Sloop will be back here Monday, just like he always was going to be. Al being missing doesn't change a thing. The sheriff made that clear. It was a done deal.
Carmen paused a long moment, with her eyes closed and her hand on her lips. Then she forced the hand down and forced the lips into a trembling smile.
Well, good,
she said.
Yes, good,
her mother-in-law said. Carmen nodded, vaguely. Reacher thought she was about to faint.
What do you suppose happened to him?
She asked.
How would I know? Some sort of trouble, I expect.
But who would make trouble for Al?
Rusty's smile thinned to a sneer.
Well, take your best guess, dear,
she said. Carmen opened her eyes.
What does that mean?
It means, who would want to make trouble for their lawyer?
I don't know.
Well, I do, Rusty said. Somebody who buys them a big old Mercedes-Benz and gets sent to jail anyhow, that's who.
Well, who did that?
Anybody could have. Al Eugene takes anybody for a client. He has no standards. He's halfway to being plain crooked, maybe all the way crooked for all I know. 3/4 of his clients are the wrong sort.
Carmen was still pale.
The wrong sort?
You know what I mean.
You mean Mexican?
Why don't you just come right out and say it? Rusty was still smiling.
Well, tell me different, she said. Some Mexican boy gets sent to jail. He doesn't just stand up and accept his punishment like we do. No, he blames his lawyer and he gets all his brothers and his cousins all riled up about it. And, of course, he's got plenty of those come up here after him. All illegals, all cholos, all of them in gangs. And now you see exactly how that turns out. Just like it is down there in Mexico itself. You, of all people, should know what it's like.
Why should I, of all people? I've never even been to Mexico.
Nobody replied to that. Richard watched her, standing up shaken and proud and alone like a prisoner in the enemy camp. The room was quiet, just the thump and click of the old air conditioner running somewhere else.
You got an opinion here, Mr. Reacher?
Rusty Greer asked. It felt like a left-field question in a job interview. He wished he could think of something smart to say, some diversion. But it wouldn't help any to start some big clumsy fight and get himself thrown off the property inside the first 10 minutes. I'm just here to work, ma'am, he said.
I'd like to know your opinion all the same.
Just like a job interview, a character reference. Clearly, she wanted exactly the right sort of person shoveling horseshit for her.
Mr. Reacher was a cop himself,
Carmen said.
In the Army.
Rusty nodded.
So what's your thinking, ex-Army cop?
Reacher shrugged. Maybe there's an innocent explanation. Maybe he had a nervous breakdown and wandered off.
Doesn't sound very likely. Now I see why they made you an ex-cop.
Silence for a long moment. Well, if there was trouble, maybe white folks made it, Reacher said.
That's not going to be a popular view around here, son.
It's not looking to be popular. It's looking to be right or wrong. And the population of Texas is 3/4 white. Therefore, I figure there's a 3 in 4 chance white folks were involved, assuming people are all the same as each other.
That's a big assumption.
Not in my experience. Rusty bounced her gaze off the tabletop, back to Carmen.
Well, no doubt you agree, she said, with your new friend here.
Carmen took a breath.
I never claimed to be better than anyone else, she said, so I don't see why I should agree I'm worse.
The room stayed quiet.
Well, time will tell, I guess,
Rusty said.
One or other of us is going to be eating humble pie. Now, where's Sloops, little girl?
She asked, with an artificial brightness in her voice, like the conversation had never happened.
You bring her back from school?
Carmen swallowed and turned to face her.
She's in the barn, I think. She saw the sheriff and got worried her pony had been stolen.
That's ridiculous. Who would steal her damn pony?
She's only a child, Carmen said.
Well, the maid is ready to give the child its supper, so take it to the kitchen and show Mr. Reacher to the bunkhouse on your way.
Carmen just nodded, like a servant with new instructions. Reacher followed her out of the parlor back to the hallway. They went outside into the heat again and paused in the shadows on the porch.
Ellie eats in the kitchen? Reacher asked.
Carmen nodded.
Rusty hates her, she said.
Why? She's her granddaughter. Carmen looked away.
Her blood is tainted. Don't ask me to explain it. It's not rational. She hates her, is all I know.
So why all the fuss if you took her away?
Because Sloop wants her here. She's his weapon against me, his instrument of torture. And his mother does what he wants.
She make you eat in the kitchen, too?
No. She makes me eat with her, because she knows I'd rather not.
He paused at the edge of the shadow. You should have gotten out of here. We should be in Vegas by now.
I was hopeful, for a second, about Al Eugene. I thought there might be a delay.
He nodded. So was I. It would have been useful. She nodded, tears in her eyes.
I know. Too good to be true.
So you should still think about running. She wiped her eyes with the back of her hand, shook her head.
I won't run, she said. I won't be a fugitive.
He said nothing.
And you should have agreed with her about the Mexicans. I'd have understood you were bluffing. I need her to keep you around.
I couldn't.
It was a risk.
She led him down the steps into the sun and across the yard. Beyond the motor barn was a horse barn. That structure was red like everything else, big as an aircraft hangar with clerestory vents in the roof. There was a big door standing a foot open. There was a strong smell coming out of it.